You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where I live. IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis, Scoop. Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Howdy.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about some changes coming to Hearthstone this spring. We got to talk about Far Cry Primal and other prehistoric games. But first.
But Damon. I don't like it when things that I like change.
I know you don't.
I want everything to just stay the same forever.
Forever. But change is a part of life, part of growing up.
Yeah.
A part of gradually marching toward your inevitable death.
Yep. I get a lot of change in the pinball machines I operate.
There you go.
I turn them in for paper money.
Ooh. That's good.
Folding money.
Wow.
Folding money.
The Witness is a hot new video game that all the kids are playing.
Yeah.
No kids are
also,
playing that
also game. Also many adults.
let's be real about
this kid's that. Playing it.
We're going to get letters from kids playing that game. They're going to be like, "Dear sir, I am 6 years
kids,
old.
Kids, if you're listening to this show, famous. Turn it off."
Justin, you said The Witness is your favorite game of the generation?
Oh, yeah.
So far?
Yeah, totally. Whoa. I'm completely enamored with it. I love everything about it. I think the puzzles are really smart and clever. I think the world is gorgeous. I think before I played it, I didn't really understand why it took 7 or 8 years to make. Mm-hmm. And now the world is so intricate and detailed and so well thought out from both kind of a micro level immediately in your face and sort of a zoomed out level that...
You said all these exact same things about Flappy Bird.
That's true.
I caught myself playing
but
Flappy
this
Bird
time,
like 2 hours the other day.
This time, I'm right.
Okay.
No, but it feels like it's almost unfathomable how complex and intricate and complicated the world is and how many different parts fit together in different ways that are clever and unexpected and surprising and delightful.
It's a thoughtful game. It really is. You sit there and look at it, and you were talking about that sense of perspective kind of permeates through it like a fractal.
You just can't fake that stuff. There's stuff where just the complexity of the puzzles and how they interact with each other, that stuff can't be faked or cheated. That just takes time. That just takes years and years and years to develop and own.
Or lots of people instead of one.
Well, sure. But I mean, even then, I don't know that something like this could be done by committee. I mean, I think it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Jared has a theory about The Witness.
Well, the reason I enjoyed it,
it's a spoiler-free one. Right?
Yeah, it is spoiler-free. I don't normally
Are we going to keep this spoiler-free?
Let's keep it spoiler-free.
Because this is a spoiler-free discussion.
So I shouldn't talk about all the ghosts.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, all right. Or the fact that the game ends with the hatch from Lost. Right.
Right.
Okay, good.
And you might have a theory, but also we should mention, Jared doesn't like this game a lot.
Oh, actually, I'm No, you just said it was a different game. I like The Witness.
Oh, really? I thought you were saying okay.
Yeah,
you said probably, if you had to do the guide for this game, you'd quit.
If I had to do the guide, I'd quit. But that's because I have a shriveled raisin for that part of my brain that solves puzzles.
That was a retroactive threat. He didn't say that when he got assigned to
No, nothing like that. I got to play this game in an era when guides are readily available, and if I get stuck forever and ever, instead of sitting and spinning my wheels in frustration, I could go look. And that was very nice. I got to experience like most people do. But thing about the game that shocked me, I don't like puzzled games most of the time. I didn't realize that this one's kind of a secret Metroidvania game. In a Metroidvania game, you go
before
to
he explains himself. Have you heard his theory about this?
I mean, I can imagine, knowing what I know about The Witness, he's going with this. Yeah. The game unlocks keys in your mind to doors you didn't know were locked.
Pretty much that's it.
Doesn't have super missiles.
Right. It doesn't have super missiles. But in a Metroid game, you get to an area you can't get far.
We all know what a Metroid game is.
You go off to a different area, find a power-up. In this case, the power-ups are not items you find in the game. This is knowledge that you gain through working at a different set of puzzles. You get frustrated, you go off to a different area, you learn something, you come back, boom, you get through. Sometimes you can bomb jump your way around it by figuring out something by being clever that you got a little ahead of, or through a little more doggedness or experimentation.
Allow me to explain.
Okay.
So you come up against these puzzle panels, and there's different puzzle panels in different areas of the island. Each one has different symbols on it that mean different things. It might have blocks, it might have stars, it might have little dots. And then through some sort of introductory puzzles, it teaches you, you have to separate the block colors. They can't all be the same color. And they ramp up in complexity, and then you understand how the block works. You might come up against stars, and it says, the stars have to be in pairs of two. And then you figure that out, and there's a bunch of those puzzles. So every time you learn a new set of puzzles, it's like learning a new language. Mm-hmm. And so you can come up against a door in the beginning of the game that's just got crazy symbols all over it. And the solution's there. Like, you can solve that door from minute one when you start the game, but you can't really because you haven't learned the language
exactly.
yet. You don't know the vocabulary yet. You don't know the rules for opening that door. So in that sense, that's a locked door, and what
I have so many Simon's Quest jokes I just didn't make.
The super missiles
what unlocks
in this
that
game
door
your
is
brain.
Your knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The super missiles
gracious.
Are your brain. Yep.
So I'd call it more of a Zelda Tunia.
Zelda Tunia. There we are.
Are you going to talk about
where's the graveyard duck?
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about the sales stats?
Yeah, we'll talk about the sales stats. Okay. I still need to start the game. I just finished Rise of the Tomb Raider last night.
It's a very different game than this.
Remember when we solved that puzzle together and we recorded it, and then we didn't put it on the site ever because it took us too long to solve the puzzle?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
But yeah,
did you solve that puzzle?
Oh yeah, I saw that puzzle.
So on your own, was it easier?
Well, because I remembered, like, what did Sam do? Yeah.
I also think
I want to point out there's a real. I love the. You beat the game, right? Did you actually?
No, I got past that part.
Oh, okay. Well, there is. There's a post credits scene that's pretty cool.
Okay. Oh snap! Really?
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to say about The Witness.
No, we're not. We're still talking about The Witness.
Okay.
The last thing I want to say about Rise of Tomb Raider is I've been playing the Baba Yaga DLC. And I think maybe my game may be like bugged or glitched because there's one of your missions is harvest 2 deer livers.
Yeah, we got there.
So I'm running around trying to hunt these deer, and you can look on your map and say, okay, there's a deer there. And I kept running. I'd like, run over there, and there's no deer. And then I would say, pull up my map again. Okay, now it's moved right behind me. Turn around, no deer. Okay. Now it's over there. I run over there. There's no deer. But every time I'd go, there'd be rabbits. So I was like, did the game spawn a rabbit instead of the deer?
Maybe it's a jackalope.
And I gotta try. I got
try to get a deer liver from the rabbit.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna try to do.
That might work.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, back to The Witness.
That happens in The Witness too. Just
I think so. People always said if you encounter a hard problem or just in your life or in a puzzle game or whatever, just sleep on it, right?
Yeah.
But what The Witness really taught me is that's not just an expression. Like that's actual. Like, there's actual biology and chemistry that if you see a hard problem and you work on it and then go away and leave it, like, your brain's still working on it. Like, you're eating dinner, you're watching a show with your partner, you're sleeping, but your brain's still, it's in there. And it feels like magic, but this is absolutely true that if you think, I'm never going to solve this, it's impossible, I just want to look up a guide, just don't and leave. And then I can't tell you, probably a dozen times, I came back to the game a day later or two later, and then it was like, first try. I'm like, I see what to do.
Yeah, Jared is here to play devil's advocate.
No, I think that's absolutely true. I'm just not as patient as you, so I've enjoyed in the situations where...
I will admit, I wanted to get through the game without looking anything up, and there was one that I never... One puzzle. One out of the 500
twig
I've solved.
Hashtag Twiggate.
Yeah, right. I couldn't. No, not even Twiggate. I don't count Twiggate.
No,
because you spoiled that for me.
Really?
I would have got that one on my own.
I spoiled it.
Yeah,
by saying the ground thing.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I think that I think that's the Watergate of The Witness.
It is the worst puzzle in The Witness, but there was one that was just too. There's one very close to the end that I did. I'm sad to admit I did look up, but I got the other 499 plus on my own.
Looking up a solution can go one of two ways. If the answer seems obvious, then I feel bad. It's like, oh, yeah. I really should have figured that out.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, I never would have thought about that. So I'm really glad
I
picked that up.
The Witness is not that kind of. The puzzles are very, very, very hard, but there's one or two in the entire game that I consider kind of those BS, like, I never even would have figured that out. The rest you just have to figure out. Like,
I've looked up, even with cheating on it, I've looked up five puzzles.
And I will say what happened after I looked up one, like, then the floodgates were open. Like, then I'm like, because then I'm like, well, I've already, like, I might as well just look up that. But I stayed strong. I stayed strong and I solved the rest of the game on my own.
It's kind of like losing your virginity.
But I helped him.
You might as well just.
We all heard it.
We crushed the flower. You can't put the flower back together.
You might as well just bone everybody at that point.
You guys can all use me as personal game help if you need to.
Stealth?
So you don't have to use a guy.
Metroidvania.
Yeah, tweet at me and I'll give you hints instead of the direct solution.
We have an email about The Witness from Matt in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Murfreesboro.
That's a made-up place.
Murfreesboro.
Home of the Battle of Stones River.
This is a true thing? And it's pronounced Murfreesboro?
Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro.
Yeah. Is this Murfreesboro?
Yeah, Murfreesboro. Well, is that Murfreesboro? No, that's Crazy Puzzle Island.
Yeah, that's Puzzle Island.
Hey,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Matt says, it has been said that you should never buy a console for one game. Is that a thing that has been said?
I'm sure someone
said that. Who said that?
Probably Matt from Murphy's.
Didn't somebody ask us this exact thing before?
It's
He says, is The Witness worth buying a PlayStation 4 for? I have an Xbox One. I've considered buying a second console for some time. None of the other exclusive Sony titles have been enough for me to pull the trigger, but is Witness that game?
Value propositions are always subjective. However, this is a really spectacular game and different than just about anything you've ever played. So if you got the money laying around, yeah, sure, go
for
it.
But like you were saying, you're not a big fan of puzzle games.
I'm not a big fan of puzzle games.
So if you're not a big fan of...
This is an amazing game that I think people
But you also surely... I mean, the game will run on low-ish end PCs.
Yeah.
And I would say, I mean, look, it's my game of the generation. I absolutely adore it. I think everyone should play it. Mm-hmm. I do expect the game someday to come to Xbox One. So if you're not in a hurry, you know, wait and see how things shake out over the next few months, whether there's an announcement there. And I would double check the specs. I actually don't know the PC specs offhand other than to, you know, I know that they're not crazy high. So even if you have an older PC, you might actually be okay.
It runs pretty well on my older PC.
Yeah.
I have to down the
And there is, if you're worried about, like, at like Steam, the older my computer gets, the more Steam games, like having Steam running in the background can slow down the games themselves. Like I really like to have just that one app running. And there is a DRM version, DRM-free version of The Witness that you can buy as well. Then you don't even need to have Steam running.
I think The Witness is okay in short bursts. I think there's a lot of other games on the PS4 that you could play for a lot longer time that you'd have a lot more fun with if you just had one game. I don't know if that's like a Desert Island proposition that he's saying, but like if you're going to get a PS4, like get The Witcher 3. You know, we loved Metal Gear, Solid 5.
Although I wouldn't characterize The Witness as a short game either. I mean,
I don't think it's short. I was saying that if you're just going to like marathon, like you have one system and one game, I don't think it's that great to like just sit down and play for 8 hours.
I'm trying to think about what
like I played nightly and it's fine, but I get sick of it.
I don't know. I'm having a hard time. I don't think I own every console. So
Bloodborne.
I have a hard time kind of remembering which games are only on one console. Honestly, besides like Halo and all the obvious stuff like that. Like there's no Uncharted.
There's a lot to play on the PS4 right now. I wouldn't have said that at the time Bloodborne came out, but since then there's been great stuff.
Witness has been performing very well. Sold over 100,000 copies in its first week, brought in over $5 million in revenue.
Warms the cockles of my heart.
Yeah. Jonathan Blow said that's better than Braid did in its first year.
Yeah, the crazy stat is, so Braid was $15, which I thought it was $20, but he was $15 and he's right about that. It's his game, obviously he's right. But so not only did it make more money, I'm like, well, of course it made more money. It's $40 instead of $15, but he said it sold more copies.
Yeah.
Which that's what amazes me. At $40, this sold more copies
in a week.
Well,
than
nobody
Braid
gave Braid's a 10.
But the caveat is that Braid was only on XBLA, and this is on Steam and Humble PS4.
Yeah, it's releasing at the right time of year.
But even so, like I'm super super. I mean, look, I'm incredibly happy about it. I was, you know, he spent his whole fortune on it, and you know, all this time, I was worried that he just wasn't going to see a return on investment. But it's great news.
So your favorite game of the generation so far?
Yeah.
What are you Jared and Sam's favorite games of the generation so far.
Oh, jeez.
I like The Witcher 3 a lot.
Yeah.
And Metal Gear Solid 5, those are both great.
Maybe Undertale.
I can't. Yeah. I mean, it's 3DS this generation. I don't know.
Is there a 3DS game you would pick?
Yeah, I like a lot of 3DS games a lot. I really liked Fire Emblem.
I mean, Fire Emblem was great. Yeah.
I loved NES Remix.
Yeah,
NES Remix
is
really great.
You know, I'm going to say the re-release this weekend in 2 on PSN.
That's a cheat. I'm not going to allow that.
No, all right. No, probably Undertale. Or Mario Maker. I've loved both those quite a bit.
Yeah, Witcher 3 is like the only game I've been compelled to 100% in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like there's been... You 100%ed that game?
I felt compelled to. I don't know if I actually did now that I think about it. I came really close.
That's
I didn't finish Fallout 4, but I
played
it.
That's like really good
time.
Wiggle words, though. I felt compelled to 100% it. I didn't, but I was compelled.
No, but I didn't get some achievements in it because I think you have to replay it.
Yeah. I loved The Witcher, and I really loved Dragon Age. Like, there's been all kinds of games I've loved, but this generation is nothing... There's nothing I've been like as passionate about as some of the stuff like the Uncharted trilogy last gen, the Mass Effect trilogy last gen. It doesn't feel like, I mean, I know we're early-ish on, but like even the Assassin's Creed franchise started last gen and had a run of great games. I feel like this gen has been slower to get going, and I haven't played any games until The Witness that I thought were like, you know, all, on the all-time classics.
Shovel Knight, that'd be another one. I think that's legit. I know it looks retro, but that's some of the best level design I've ever seen in a game.
You played Myst again.
Huh?
Do you like Myst now?
No, I don't like Myst.
I know. Jared wrote an opinion piece about not liking Myst.
It didn't upset anyone.
No one at all. Yep, my opinion is that Myst and the Star Wars prequels are very popular.
Yeah, well, I share those opinions entirely, and we talked about them ahead of time, and we have some alternate headlines and stuff. But like, I think those are I think defenders for Myst are a little more common than prequels. Mm-hmm. But I know now that there's a lot of people out there that like Star Wars prequels.
And if you watch,
I asked on my Twitter feed, I put up a poll.
I remember, yeah.
What would you think about Disney remaking the Star Wars prequels? Mm-hmm. And it was
50-50.
Almost 50-50 people say they were for it or against it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
It's a cool prospect.
Not necessarily it'll happen eventually. Like, I think the prequels are crap, but I don't want to see them remade. So go do something else.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing them remade eventually. Yeah. Just because they leave such a better taste in my mouth and I'm full of hate and bile.
Nobody's going to remake them without Jar Jar, though.
Oh, that'd
be yeah. You
they're not
going to
remake
Jar.
Them without Jar Jar. Yeah, that won't happen.
But Jar Jar
that's the movie.
Like, what if he's just a dude? It's like it's
he doesn't
like,
serve any purpose.
He's not like further the story. He's just Alec Baldwin standing there. He's Jar Jar Binks. He's just a dude in a robe. And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
My favorite game of the generation so far, if you will allow it, would probably be Hearthstone.
Oh, no, that's great.
Which brings us to our next topic.
Oh.
Which is Hearthstone. They announced some changes coming to the game this spring. I find it hard to explain to people that don't play the game regularly, which I don't think Justin or Jared and Sam do.
It's not that hard.
I'm familiar you guys all played with it to talk about.
They release new cards a couple times a year, right? And the new change is that only cards released in the last, 2 calendar years?
Yeah.
I don't know the exact time span.
I think that's right, yeah.
But only the most recent sets of cards are going to be in the new standard, standard ladder.
Like paper CCGs do.
Yep.
Same thing. They're just creating a cycle where...
So there'll be a standard ladder with those rules, but then there'll be a wild ladder where any card is possible.
And is that to keep people buying cards?
I think it's to try and simplify and focus the metagame.
What's the real reason?
Well, it's twofold. So it's to make it easier for people to come in. So you don't need to buy, you don't need to buy card packs from a million different sets to try to, build up your card base. Like, it can be really, really hard to play catch up. And cynically, it is to ensure that you have to plug a little bit of money into this game.
Because you have to get the new set, right?
You have to get the new set. And I guess the third reason I would say, the bigger the card pool is, the harder it is for Blizzard to shake up the metagame.
Yep.
Once you have something like Dr. Boom, is that his name? And it's Boombots.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain cards that just get used in every single deck, no matter what.
And it would be stupid to not include this card.
So to be able to eventually, and then the whole game is built around countering those cards or building on those cards, and so to eventually have them cycle out allows them to keep the metagame.
Magic the Gathering did this, ages and ages ago, forked its tournament structures, and I think that was for the best for most players. It leveled the playing field over and over again.
Did you play that when it was a meat space card game?
Oh yeah.
Did Did you guys play Magic?
I still did. Yeah.
My friends and I played Magic. Oh, yeah.
I never played a TCG.
I never played like competitively at like a comic shop, but
it was a couple years ago. It was going around the office again, and then we kind of stopped a little.
I came in during Fallen Empires, played through the Black Summer, and I really have just come and gone for life since. That game's
Do you have expensive cards?
It's like heroin and chess connected. No, I do the same thing with that I do with my video game collection. I sell all my valuable stuff just before it becomes really valuable.
Yeah.
Oh, before it becomes valuable.
Just before it becomes really valuable.
Sell.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really good at that. If you want to know what stocks to buy, find out which ones I'm selling.
That's great.
I think those changes sound cool. I think the way it works now, or the way it's going to work, is that at the end of a month, they're going to take whichever ladder you perform better at. That'll be like the ladder that...
Oh, see, that part I hadn't read. That's interesting.
That they take, yeah. I think that's how I understand it. And then they're also doubling the amount of deck slots you have. People have complained for a long time you only have
forever.
9 deck slots, and there are 9 classes, so
the cynic
doesn't allow for a lot of...
I think this change is fine. I think Blizzard knew that people were going to howl and scream about it, so they doubled their deck slots along with...
So it's like
they're giving this thing that everyone can be like so happy about, and that some people were worried Blizzard might even try to charge for, and just doubling that at the same time they're giving people some news that they might not want,
like a carrot and stick thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's smart. Blizzard handles that properly.
I don't see what there is to be upset about with the new standard letter.
I don't know. I mean,
can you trade Hearthstone cards?
There's no trading cards now.
Well, I guess that means that you just have to buy their cards instead of making money on your own, right?
Yeah. I mean, I understand the complaints. It will...
Can you sell your account?
No. I mean, not legally.
Not legally?
No. Huh.
Is it really illegal?
I mean, I don't know if it's illegal or Blizzard illegal.
It's like, a violation of medical ethics.
And you never want to play again, and you can't just give somebody your account or sell it to them?
I mean, it's give like your login info, and they can just play on your account. I'm sure.
I guess, but it's like your Battle.net account. Like, even though I'm not actively playing Hearthstone anymore, but I'm not going to, like, I use Battle.net for, like, Diablo and stuff. Like,
I kind of like the idea of, like, getting a knock on the door and just Fed standing there and be like, sir, we'd like to talk to you about your Hearthstone
account.
Come
down to the station, answer a few questions for us.
About Hearthstone?
It's an interesting game, Damon. You and I were talking about this at lunch the other day. I think the game is super reasonable in how it makes its money and what it charges for. It releases these single player, like, challenge expansions where what are they, like, $20 or $25?
Yeah.
I think they're 20 if you buy early, and they go up to 25.
You get a discount.
And it's totally like a good value. Like, it's got all this voice acting, and it takes you through these 9 challenges and 9 heroic challenges and gives you new cards and it gives you class challenges. Like, it's a good value. But there's 3 of those now. And so, like, if you're just now getting into Hearthstone, that's $75.
There are certain cards you can only get by playing.
Yeah.
By buying these single player packs.
Yeah. And you're not.
Like,
you don't.
It'll get expensive over time.
Like, don't buy anything you don't want to buy. It's not like you have to buy it, but like you kind of do. And so
I would rather,
like,
have $75 worth of Garbage Pail Kids cards, frankly.
But that's
I do have.
And like that particular
a pretty
problem.
Close to complete collection of the original run of Garbage Pail Kids.
No kidding.
Like starting with zero.
Yeah.
Zero, like, one.
Well, from exactly.
Who's your favorite Garbage Pail Kid?
Oh man, I mean Flame and Damon. Even though it's spelled wrong.
What era is that from?
That's later, like 5th or 6th series.
I tried to find Jared, but his card was canceled as the 15th series. It had a Jared card that.
There's only one Jared?
Yeah. But then they brought it back in 2000 with some of the canceled cards. So he does have one out there.
Is it back again, too?
It's been on and off, I think, in the 2000s. So there's definitely stuff going on right now.
Yeah, the name Jared wasn't particularly... It's still not popular, but it was not around much there for a long time.
I think it's Jared is what it was.
It may dip in popularity due to recent current events.
It may very well. That would be my Star Wars editorial, right?
Nope. I was talking about...
Oh, no. I'm just being stupid.
Snooty Sam is, like, in the 300 era, which is, like, Series 3 or whatever. Yeah. I forgot how they're numbered. That's when I started getting them, so I was really hyped. It's like, hey, I'm in here.
Moving on, Far Cry Primal is the next Far Cry game coming out soonish, March. Is that when that game's coming out? Does that come out right?
I think it's February.
It's the end of February.
It's the end of this month.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Before we get into our discussion here, how are you guys feeling about Far Cry Primal right now?
Yeah.
Just a Far Cry game, you guys?
I talked about my love for mastodons and all things large and furry from the past.
This is taking the Far Cry formula and putting it in a prehistoric setting. Right. Yeah. For anyone who's
I think it's really
unfamiliar.
Clever. I'm kind of on blackout to just play it from the start and try it out. I like Blood Dragon a lot.
I like Blood Dragon.
I'm not a Far Cry fan, so.
I've liked
Blood Dragon.
Really liked everything Far Cry since Far Cry 3, so. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for more Far Cry. But this got me thinking about other prehistoric games.
Monk.
The history of prehistoric games.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Rock.
This is a tough area of research.
Hold on. Hold your horses here. When I was looking up prehistoric games, I was hard-pressed to find anything from before the late 80s. There was a big craze with prehistoric games in the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised at how few prehistoric games there were.
Yeah, and Jared and I talk about one all the time.
There are a couple.
Well, there's a lot of history games, like Greek and Aztec-based stuff like that, but prehistoric with either dinosaurs or cavemen in it is what you're classifying.
The earliest one I could come up with
was the one that we talked about
off the top of my head. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to lay some expectations. We're not considering just games that have dinosaurs in them.
Right.
So like not Dino Crisis, not dinosaurs and Cadillacs. Yeah. Cadillacs and dinosaurs?
Yeah.
But games that are set in prehistory era.
Right.
So the earliest one, I think, as you pointed out, Jared, was BC's
Quest for Tires was the first one I could think of.
I love that game.
You were talking about?
I think I topped it, but there's a caveat.
Well, hold on here.
Okay. That's 1983.
Describe this game.
So
this is based on the BC comic strip.
On the comic strip, right.
So isn't still running, is it?
I loved this game when I was a kid.
I don't know.
Really? No one knows.
It's so good. It has a really cool cartoon rendering of the main character, and he's on a unicycle made out of stone, and you go to the right and you... jump over stuff.
You try to avoid turtles. It's kind of like an Endless Runner. Yeah, and it's.
You remember this comic,
BC?
Yeah.
I
liked BC for a while, and then it got kind of overtly spiritual to the point that it was started feeling saccharine.
Got pretty weird there.
And but
turned Ziggy.
It got a little Ziggy.
There were at least two Flintstones games on the NES. Do they count?
We're in 1983 right now.
83.
We're going chronological. No.
All right. I don't know. I feel like you three had some like sidebar that I wasn't a part of.
No. No, we're just excited about dinosaurs. So BC is
Here's the thing: is that BC doesn't really have dinosaurs in it. We tried to research what the earliest game is with dinosaurs in it, and it's surprisingly hard to do.
There's that 83 Apple II game. Is that the one you're thinking about?
No. Okay. What I said was Gottlieb's Dinosaur, which is an arcade game.
Okay.
But it's Caveman. Sorry, Gottlieb's Caveman. Okay. It has dinosaurs in it and a joystick. But it's also attached to a pinball machine.
Yeah.
So it's like Baby Pac-Man. It has a full arcade game in it, but it drops out of there and you play pinball for a little bit, and then it goes back in the arcade game and you play the joystick.
Yeah, and that was
called Caveman. 83.
Or is that 83 also? Because that's 83.
So that's the earliest I got.
So Gottlieb's 83.
Because of BC's.
BC is 83.
And then I think we jump 5 years to 1988.
There's one more. Is it Dino Egg or Dino Egg?
You looked up Dino Egg's unreleased.
It's 83. Dino Egg's is unreleased.
Well, it came out on a lot of platforms. Yeah. But when we were looking at it, it was like ColecoVision. Well, I don't want to get into it.
It came out on Apple II.
This is not going to be an exhaustive history.
Yeah.
Sorry,
no, it's prehistoric video games. This will be a brief history.
That game looks fun. I never played it.
Yeah.
Of prehistoric video games. In 1988, Caveman Uglympics.
Ooh.
Came to Commodore 64. It was known on NES as Caveman Games.
Caveman Games, yeah. It's an American Gladiator style game. And it came out on NES in 1990.
I would describe it more as a California Games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess it would be like California Games.
Summer games, winter games,
But they have an American Gladiator thing.
Okay.
Like where they fight each other like off a thing.
Yeah.
Good.
I just want to do that in the office now. Can we get those big pugil sticks and the helmets and do American Gladiators in the office?
That's painful.
The following year, The Adventures of Dino Riki
came
to NES.
The game is so cool. But it's really a great name and great art.
It's like Commando in prehistoric times, right? Because you're like, it's top-down scrolling, vertically scrolling shooter, kind of.
Yeah, that's dumb.
This is one I rented once and tried to forget. That's
really?
Not to be confused with Kid Nicky Radical Ninja.
Right. Which is not a prehistoric game.
No. 1990 saw the release of Bonk's Adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the TurboGrafx.
And Trog and Big Nose the Caveman and Big Nose Freaks Out. Those are all NES games.
What caused the...
There was
like,
a caveman explosion.
Why was there a caveman explosion in the early 90s?
Oh, Bonk can't have hurt because Bonk was... Hudson decided to go with him as the U.S. mascot.
Yeah, but it wasn't even just in video games.
No.
Like, it all culminated in Encino Man.
I think Yoshi might have had something to do with it, honestly. 91,
maybe there was a Flintstones resurgence?
Over here, and Yoshi was just
huge. Yeah, and Flintstones came back, too.
Jurassic Park came out around that time. Yoshi was there.
Yeah.
I think.
Where did this come from? What started it?
Well, I think it might have been
Land of the Lost.
Yoshi and Jurassic Park would have been enough, frankly. Yeah. And I think those two happened independently.
But don't you guys think it's more surprising that in the 80s, when we all were really obsessed with dinosaurs and dinosaur toys,
there wasn't
a bunch of dinosaur video games?
It took like marketers and people that make media a decade to figure out, wait a second.
People love dinosaurs. Yeah. There are three sequels to Bonk's Adventure, Bonk's Revenge. Bonk 3, Bonk's Big Adventure, and then Super Bonk was on Super Nintendo.
Yep. Yep. The one to play is Bonk's
and Revenge. That doesn't even count Air Zonk.
Yeah, which has two iterations.
Yeah, like, yeah. But I'm not sure if that's supposed to be set in prehistoric times or
Future-y. That's future. Yeah. How Bonk's Revenge is actually a good video game. The others are those you can live without, but the Bonk 2 is totally worth playing.
Yeah, Bonk's okay.
I like Bonk.
Again, not a huge focus on dinosaurs in those games, though, right?
In Bonk?
Oh, no, I guess Bonk.
They get eaten by the
dinosaurs. Hey, does Adventure Island count? It has dinosaurs.
But I don't think it's set in prehistoric times. It's hard. We're not just talking about dinosaurs.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. So the Adventure Island is stuck in the past, but Master Higgins is a contemporary gentleman.
I think we have to date it by the skateboard. When were skateboards invented?
Well, the Flintstones have cars. So.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point.
We will count 1991's Turtles in Time because they travel back
absolutely
to prehistoric times.
Does that mean we have to count the Home Improvement game in which
do they travel back to
prehistoric times? Which Tim Allen fights through a dinosaur set for the first level?
Yeah, sure. 1991 was also Chuck Rock, which I rented for my Sega Genesis.
I have never played Chuck Rock.
I haven't either. What is Chuck Rock about?
It's a platformer where I think there's some puzzle elements to it also.
Mediocre platformer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had Chuck Rock 2, Son of Chuck.
Chuck Rock 2, Son of Chuck.
That was the one that I owned.
Yep. That was another one. That same year was when Joe and Mac was in arcades.
That game blew me away in the arcade.
Cooperative caveman game.
I used to get that conflated in my head with Toki Goes Apespit. Like, they're completely
which
different
one is
games. That I thought that was prehistoric, but it's not. It's just tropical. You're a monkey walking around spitting like energy balls at
did
things.
You know the people that just redid Toki want to do Caveman Ninja Joe and Mac game next?
That would make I did not know but it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, they look a lot alike.
So Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja is a side scrolling co-op like Contra like co-op game.
Data East, right?
Yeah, Data East made it.
Yeah.
Who also made the game I mentioned earlier, Trog. Trog. But yeah, it's a really cartoony, and the dinosaurs are huge, huge sprites. And on the Super Nintendo, it was gorgeous when they ported it. But it also got an NES port. That was really bad.
I have never played the NES version of Caveman Ninja.
They can't make
NES
those giant
port
sprites
of Joe and Mac.
Yeah, I'll bring it in. It's a rare one.
I've never played that. Wow.
1993 was Congo's Caper, which is actually a Joe and Mac game.
Yeah, I never realized that the connection. But then
and
that got a sequel and Joe
single
and Mac
player.
Sequel.
I think Congo's Caper is only a single player game.
Yeah.
But the protagonist Congo searches for the kidnapped Conguette. Mm-hmm. He is a super kid, a monkey turned into a half human. Getting hit will turn the player back into a monkey.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Jeez, now, when do you think Donkey Kong Country takes place?
Oh, I don't know. Oh,
well, it's got to be contemporaneous with Mario because that's the canonical Donkey Kong, right?
Mario rides a dinosaur.
Mario does ride, but that's on Dinosaur Island.
Yeah, Donkey Kong, I don't think Donkey Kong's in any canonical Mario stuff. I don't think Mario Kart and any of the rest of that's canonical.
But doesn't Donkey Kong count as canonical?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think Donkey Kong is part of the Mario canon.
Yeah, no, because Cranky is the Donkey Kong that's in Donkey Kong.
Right, yeah.
Cranky. And Mario.
I never knew that.
Yeah, Cranky Kong is Donkey Kong.
But I don't know, can canon be one way? Because I feel like that's canon in Donkey Kong Country, but I don't think it goes all the way back through to Mario.
Those Mario parties?
I want it to be canon because that means that Mario with a whip in Donkey Kong Jr. is also canon, and that's awesome.
This is an edge case. It's an edge case for
prehistoric. You know what you were opening up. This is the Pandora's box.
An edge case for a prehistoric game was Color a Dinosaur on the NES.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
One of my favorite titles of all time.
Which I wasn't even aware of until I started doing
this
research.
Now, you might not expect what that game is about, but it's about coloring a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. You have a black and white drawing of a dinosaur, and you get to choose colors for it.
I should let my daughter play with
it. NES cartridge, she might like it.
Yeah. And then over on the Super Nintendo in 1993 was Evo Search for Eden.
Oh, what a cool game.
Evo. I've never played Evo.
Oh, man.
You would love it.
Really? You evolve from the Paleozoic era through the Age of Dinosaurs and Early Man.
I can play
by eating other things.
So it's really good?
It's really like well-known, well thought of game.
We're 93. We're moving toward my favorite prehistoric game. I'm so excited.
No, it was in 1994's Joe and Mac 2 Lost in Trouble.
It was not. But
I never played that.
What about 1994's Radical Rex?
Also not that. Mm-hmm.
Is it Primal Rage?
It's a skateboarding dinosaur.
No, that's a fun game. It's not
Super Nintendo, Genesis, and Sega CD.
Okay, I need to track that one down. Probably the Sega CD version.
We're almost there.
Was it 1995's BC Racers?
It was 1995, but it was not BC Racers.
BC Racers is part of the Chuck Rock series.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, the
Chuck Rock
expanded
Rock
universe.
How many were there?
Yeah, part of the Chuck Rock expanded universe. You must be thinking of 1995's Chrono Trigger.
Indeed. That's what I'm thinking of
Which
there.
Also has time traveling.
Oh, man.
To prehistoric times.
which I believe are called prehistoric times in the game, right? It's like 20 million BC.
I don't know if that counts. I don't know if I count that.
Why?
Because
if you will allow Turtles in Time.
Because it's a fantasy world. It's not Earth.
Oh, okay. Well,
are we allowing Flintstones?
Yes, we are.
Because the rare SNES game,
yeah, the rarest,
Surprise at Dinosaur Peak,
games like 800
for NES
bucks.
Came out in 1993.
Yeah, I didn't realize there. Yeah. There was
we just looked
a
it
one.
Up. 28 bids currently on eBay for a loose cartridge, $600.
Yeah.
Also, if I remember right, on the actual like Edge of Time screen, it calls it the prehistoric age. I think that's got to count if it actually says that.
I don't agree with that.
It goes to 10,000.
Why doesn't Star Wars count?
20,000. Yeah.
I mean,
why doesn't Star Wars count?
See, I think
we talked about
prehistoric time.
It was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it could be.
But I don't think it takes place in prehistoric times.
But it's before history.
Maybe it does.
Oh wait, there is a history there. That's difficult.
It does have history within the Star Wars universe, so it's hard to say prehistorical.
Yeah,
but it's pre our history.
1997 was Tale of the Sun.
Tales from the Sun is like the
Tale
best.
Tale of the Sun, is Tale, that what it is?
Tale Spin is what you're thinking of.
Tale of the Sun, T-A-I-L.
Yeah, that's the best bad game that I love.
The best bad game.
Yeah,
that was a PlayStation game. The player's ultimate objective is to build a tower of mammoth tusks that reaches the sun.
Game's impossible. It makes absolutely no sense. Dan Reichart has an incredible series of him trying to play Tales of the Sun.
Conker's Bad Fur Day had the Ooga Booga level.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Which I think is a prehistoric level.
I think we can all gloss past that one.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That game is fine. Conker.
What about the game BC?
I'm just joking.
Yeah?
The Peter Molyneux game that was never released. It was canceled. Huh. It was supposed to take place. You're supposed to be like a caveman.
This Populous
like an action-adventure game set
in Populous prehistory?
A lot of Populous is prehistory.
Is
it? Absolutely. You're like creating the world. I mean, technically, Civilization would fall on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Civ?
I guess the Civ games.
Civ games actually start at the dawn of history. Like, the very first thing you do is create things like alphabet or ceremonial burial or the things we associate with keeping history.
So you're creating, yeah.
Well, because I actually think they're past prehistoric because every Civ game starts with the first city.
Right. 4000 BC, you found the city. Yeah, so I think you're right. I think that's actually right on the cusp.
Unless I'm missing something in the last 15 years, that brings us to Far Cry Primal. So, which means there has been a big lull in prehistoric games. Mm. Now, things that don't count. Primal Rage. That's a post-apocalyptic game.
It mm-hmm. is?
Yeah.
The dinosaurs came back?
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic.
Oh, Jared, what about Time Pilot?
Wait. No, I think everything you're fighting in Time Pilot still
I don't
historical.
Think you ever go
yeah, you never,
into prehistoric times in Time Pilot.
Yeah, you never fight like pterodactyls in Time Pilot or anything.
Joust, you fight pterodactyls in.
You do. Joust could be a
that's on another planet. Primal Carnage, the dinosaurs were recreated on an island in modern times. Earthbound, that you actually go to a different planet for the dinosaur level.
Spoilers.
Star Fox Adventures takes place on dinosaur planet. Not prehistoric.
It's tricky. Right.
Turok is also another planet.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Turok, it's also in the future, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know what Turok is about. Is that what it is?
Okay. Definitely not prehistoric.
What is unclear is game Ark Survival.
Oh, yeah. Survival Evolved.
I'm not sure where that game is supposed to take place. If it's
in
the past.
Or,
is it? Yeah. Okay.
I like to imagine it's a conservative Christian creationist universe where man and dinosaurs are walking side by side, and that it's like secretly like creationist propaganda. Yeah. That's my theory.
Good.
Okay. Yeah.
They can put that on the back of their box.
Yeah.
There you have it, a brief history of prehistoric video games.
We nailed that one.
Yeah.
What a great segment.
Now it's time for Video Game 20 Questions. Uh-oh. Everybody knows how this works. We have 20 yes or no questions to guess the mystery game that is in my mind. This week, the game was suggested by Anthony in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh.
Yeah.
You may begin.
Does it have cavemen in it? No, let's not burn a question.
Was it last week that you didn't get it? Oh, no, you got it like on question 19 last week.
Does your character in this game speak?
Yes.
Is this game... Oh, do you guys want to go by generations? You want to go by... I do like narrowing up my time. Is this game a part of the previous game generation? Previous
Jared,
to current.
Jared, let's go by years, buddy. No, we wanted to go by generations. Yeah, I remember we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Asking if it's part of the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Wii generation?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, there we go. That might have been a wasted question.
Is it from the generation before that?
So is it from the Xbox,
Maybe
PlayStation
this is
2, GameCube?
It's
I think we're going to burn a lot of questions here. This might have been a poor strategy. Maybe we got to go with the year thing. We tried it for variety's sake.
Yeah, that was great, though.
It was.
We had a good run. Did this come out before 2000?
Okay. Yes, it did.
We had a strategy. We're trying to stick to a strategy.
Right. So somebody talks and it came out before 2000.
So when your character speaks in this game, do you actually hear words with your ears or are you seeing text on screen?
That's not a yes or no question.
When your character speaks...
Does it have voice recording?
Does your character have a recorded voice that you hear?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Right. So that's good because that it sounds like it's Conker's Bad Fur Day.
So but, it's going to be probably an N64, CD, or PC game then, because we've got voice samples.
Yeah, I mean, but it's hard to know how tricksy Damon's being, because it could be like some barks from like a fighting game.
I'm bad!
Because it could be Street Fighter 2.
It's probably a safe bet that it's later, but just don't get locked into that mind.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep it locked. All right.
Does this game have sequels?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, that makes it so hard.
Okay.
We gotta narrow down platform.
Let's see, yeah, we probably narrowed down platform.
Did this game release, originally release on a cartridge?
No.
Okay, so probably a CD or a disc.
Or an arcade board.
Or arcade board, that's true. This game released after January 1st, 1990?
No.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Snap. So what, is it Gauntlet?
Gauntlet. Yeah, well, there's a lot of
Fighter Need Food Badly.
Yeah. Berserk.
Or Street Gauntlet, Fighter 1.
Yeah, Street Fighter 1,
China.
Gauntlet, Berserk.
Japan.
Uppercut.
Yeah. There's a bunch of those it could be.
Qbert spoke.
Well, we probably ought to ask about
whether
it's arcade.
Yeah, but
he's
got actual voice. Yeah.
Is it an arcade game?
Yes.
All right, there we go.
Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, there's a lot of those that talked. Goodness. Speaking characters in an arcade game.
I mean, it sounds like it's unusual that it has speech, but maybe
before,
we should.
Well, I mean, speech before 1990.
In an arcade game, but there were a lot of games that did that. Like you'd have this voice sample.
There were no sequels.
No sequels
that I know of.
Well, yeah, no well-known sequels.
Ooh, that could be hard. What if it were like Star Wars Arcade and it has the voice samples, but never actually had this? Oh, no, because that had Empire. That was a sequel. That's right. That was a direct sequel to the Star Wars Arcade game, so it can't be Star Wars.
I want to remind the panel that Justin's question was, does your character speak?
Yeah. And we can hear them speak.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
What does that reminder mean?
That's a clue.
Suspicious reminder.
In the game Gauntlet, your character does not speak.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. No.
Your character says that they need food when they're dying.
Actually,
that's an announcer.
So he's like, warrior needs food.
Yeah. I always thought that was the warrior talking in the third person.
The elf is about
the
to
elf,
die.
They say it for each class.
I always played warrior.
What about the Valkyrite? It's like, Valkyrite is about to die.
Do you shoot in this game?
No.
Oh.
Do you jump in this game?
Yes.
You jump, so it's not a driving game.
That's 10.
Can we confirm it's arcade?
Yeah,
it is an arcade
game.
Are we still just assuming that?
No, we asked
that directly.
That was confirmed, yeah.
No shooting.
Should
we ask still
no shooting,
1985?
Yes, jumping.
Okay, so it's not Berserk.
Actually,
it's
jumping.
Not Frenzy.
I asked that question half as a joke, but that eliminates any like scrolling shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good question.
That's a great question.
Doesn't eliminate Dragon Slayer.
No.
Let's see. So you talk in the game.
Is the company that made this game still in business? I don't know why. It's not going to help me at all. You could say yes or no. It doesn't get me anywhere.
No.
No.
The company that made this game is not in business
anymore. No longer in business.
Ooh. Did this come out before 1985?
No.
Okay.
85 and 90.
That makes a little bit better.
That helps a lot.
You don't shoot.
You don't shoot.
Your character talks, but don't get too hung up on
that.
Do
you perform acts of violence in this game?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not 720.
Mm-hmm. Could be bad dudes.
Yeah, any side-scrolling beat 'em up.
You shoot in bad dudes, don't you?
No, you never use a gun. When did Ninja Turtles come out?
I'm just going to ask it. Is this a side-scrolling beat-em-up?
Yes.
No. Okay.
Nailed it.
Okay, so now we...
Double Dragon?
I don't think you speak in
Double Dragon.
There's no speech in Double Dragon.
Or Golden Axe.
Golden Axe.
Do you speak in Golden Axe?
I don't know.
No, I don't.
I own that game. Arcade cabinet.
No, there's
I can't
text, but you never speak.
I don't...
You get hit, your characters go...
That was really good.
Well, there's a lot of games where you do that. Yeah, but this
And you kick a gnome.
Huh?
You kick a gnome. All right, we're getting sidetracked.
What about that?
Is that why you clarified? Like, is that
what?
Right?
Was this game based on a licensed property?
No.
Okay, so
it's
15.
Oh, man.
Okay, the company's not around anymore, so it can't be Golden Axe. That's Sega.
No.
Sega's around.
Wait, is Data East
around?
Data East isn't around anymore.
Yeah.
It really could be Bad Dudes.
That'd be so cool.
It could also be Crude Buster, but I think that was 90.
I think it's incredibly unlikely.
Are you a human in this game?
Yes.
Are you a bad dude in this game?
Yes. The good thing, like, you, on like the second or third question, you said, I'm bad.
Yeah.
Like, you were so close very early on.
Bad dudes.
Versus I did not expect to get the question, does your character speak? That never occurred to me, but I was
like, nice done, Justin.
What does the character say?
I didn't want you to get sidetracked. You asked if it's an arcade game, but like, I played the NES port.
Yeah.
So like, the answer to the question, is it an arcade game, is yes, but like, that doesn't mean it's exclusively an arcade game.
Yeah, if it's one player, you go, I'm bad. If it's two player, you go, we're bad, or who's bad? And Steve Martin in Parenthood. Mentions bad dudes.
Really?
Tell him the reference. It's
really
funny.
That's great. His son is playing the game and he's just died, and Steve Martin like walks in with him and he puts his arm around him. He's like, well, yeah, that's why they call him Bad Dudes. And they walk away from a Bad Dudes arcade machine.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. That's
really Steve Martin joke about bad dudes.
About bad dudes.
Released in 1988, published and developed by Dead East.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't have done it without you guys because I've never played that game.
Really?
Bad Dudes is.
That's a great game.
It's actually a lot of fun.
I mean, I know the game, but I've never played it.
It is a great game.
You're aware that in the end, when you
can't
save,
take that back when you say it's a great game.
When you save the president,
yeah, I can.
He invites you to get a hamburger with
he
him.
He does. Are you bad enough dudes to rescue Ronnie and then you go get a hamburger with Ronald?
Yeah, I've seen the graphics and watched videos of this game.
Yeah, although I've heard that
Bad Dudes is pretty legit.
It is. It's fun. The arcade version, especially the NES port's kind of rough around the edges, but worth playing.
But it's funny. It's hard for me to like because in my memory of that game, you sometimes shoot.
No.
See, I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100% sure. You never pick up a gun.
I mean, I believe you.
Like in Double Dragon, you can pick up a gun.
You charge up your fist and can do a power punch, but it doesn't shoot out, and you use knives and nunchucks. The only other power-ups are Coke cans and, I think, watches.
Can we keep asking you questions?
I believe the characters' parents love them. Now I don't know what game I'm picturing.
The arcade game is called Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
Right.
But the NES is just called Bad Dudes.
And in Japan, it's just called Dragon Ninja in the home system. Yeah, like if you buy the Famicom one, it's just called Dragon Ninja.
Did it.
And you play the game backwards as the final boss.
Yeah. Also had a spiritual sequel, Crude Busters.
That's the spiritual sequel to Bad Dudes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How great would that be is if in a sequel to Bad Dudes, you play it as the final boss and you just walk past all your cronies because they're not going to stop you.
Karnov is in that game.
And then you fight the Bad Dudes at the end.
Well, that's another Data East game.
Huh? Yeah. Karnov's a boss in Bad Dudes. He's a boss. You fight him. Yeah.
But Karnov
there's so many reasons.
But Karnov isn't Karnov related to Rygar also?
Karnov's related to Atomic Burner Chelnov.
Chelnov. That's
related
what it was.
To Chelnov.
Technos.
What's that?
What's Rygar is made by Technos?
Tecmo. Is it the Tecmo game was Rygar, yeah.
The Rygar reboot was pretty good.
Isn't that a Wii game?
PS2? Not that reboot, the first reboot.
You got a yo-yo shield.
Yeah, that PS2 one. Yeah, and you get the pizza shield in that one, right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Real quick before we go, what are we playing this weekend? I plan to start The Witness.
Bad Dudes.
I'm finished with The Witness, and so I'm gonna go back to Darkest Dungeon, I think I'm gonna download this game called Infinifactory. Infiniminer on the PS4. It came out in December.
Weird.
It might be Infinifactory. It's the game for the guys that made Space Kim. My PC is too old to run that game when it came out on a computer, and I saw it came to PS4, and so now I'm really excited.
You're not going
to
finish all the environmental puzzles?
I mean, I've had my fill of that game. I'm many, many hundreds of puzzles in, yeah.
I'm playing something for review that may end up stretching into the weekend, because it's taking longer than I thought, but if I get some free time, definitely going to keep diving into The Witness. Mm-hmm.
Bad Dudes. I'm gonna play Bad Dudes.
Good. Play the arcade version, though, man.
I don't have access to that. Well, I'll look around the Bay Area and see.
Yeah,
if
look
I can
around. See if you can find one.
Do you own the NES cart?
No.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
The NES one we have good memories of, but it really is pretty choppy.
Also, I have to finish Zelda 2. I'm on the sixth palace, the hidden palace.
Oh yeah. That's a game right there. That's a game. That's a game for
tough palace, man. It's got some floors that disappear.
Yeah.
Fall a lot.
Fall through them. Wait till you get to that great palace, man. Great palace without a map.
You got to fight bosses just right in the middle of the palace.
First appearance of Shadow Link. Great game. Man, that was a great moment.
What? That's in that? Oh, you spoiled it.
I did.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that. Yeah. When I was a kid, my hit just...
Yeah, so would Sam's.
Well, until next time.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. We're out. We'll be right back.
This is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.